listening to the sermon podcast of Dan Roschke, pastor of Shepherd of the Valley Lutheran Church in La Mesa, California. For more information about Shepherd of the Valley, visit our website at svlc.org. But now, here's Pastor Dan and his sermon for today.
Grace to you and peace this day from Jesus the Christ, who comes to us, who dwells among us in grace and in peace. Amen. Our scripture reading today starts with an interesting phrase, on the third day. Did you catch that? On the third day, it said, there was a wedding feast in Cana. On the third day. I want to think about third day events here. Do you have third day events? So what does this mean? I suppose John is suggesting that the first 2 days occurred probably back in chapter 1, and right now we're at the very beginning of chapter 2, so this must be the third day, so there have been 2 days already. But with John, there's always more to it. And the third day, you're probably already thinking about that. We make confession of what we believe on the third day. What does the third day remind you of? The resurrection, right? On the third day, Jesus rose from the dead. It's an interesting connection at the very beginning of John's gospel. It's like a bookend. And so we have a third day here. We'll have the climactic third day at the end of John's gospel. Life conquers death on the third day. We're getting a glimpse of what that looks like here in this really interesting story. I'd invite you to think as you go into your week this week about your own third day events. Events where life conquers death. Events where hope overcomes despair. What are third day events for you? Events where joy comes raining down on top of sorrow. Third day events. We hear that this third day event is the first of Jesus' signs, Carol just read. The first of Jesus' signs in the Gospel of John. So, I'll just tell you, there are 7 signs in the Gospel of John. So this is the very first one. It's like those puzzles that our kids have, you know, where you have the beginning of the puzzle and they're trying to figure out what the big picture is, but all they have is one piece, and then as time passes, another piece gets added, and then you can start to see, you can start to take a guess. It's kind of what's going on here. Another idea might be someone in the dark and a single spotlight is shined on a little corner of that picture or that person, but you can't see the whole thing. So this is kind of like the first light. You won't be able to see the whole picture until you see all 7 spotlights shining at that person. Oh, this is an exciting first sign, though. This interesting wedding at Cana. This is the first of Jesus' signs when he turns the water into wine. Unexpected extravagance is what you could call this first sign. And unexpected extravagance is almost always unacceptable for us. Unexpected extravagance is almost always unacceptable for us. Have you ever been lavished with goodness and grace and you really have a hard time accepting that? I know that you have. We've talked about this together in our congregation, in Bible studies, and in corners together here in the church. It is hard to accept overwhelming grace and generosity from another person. It is tough for us Lutherans who don't always act like Lutherans. We talk about grace all the time, but when it comes to actually accepting grace and goodness overflowing, it's really hard for us. It's really hard for us. No, 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 we say. No, we're very humble people. Oh, don't give that to me. Don't give me the praise. Don't give me all this extravagance. Pass that on to someone else, please. That's what we do well. It's really hard for us, I think, to accept overwhelming generosity and grace. Maybe you're resonating with that struggle. It's kind of like struggling to let someone else pay for you at a restaurant. You ever struggle with that? I know some of you do. It's really, really hard to let someone else pay. Oh, no, 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 no. Let me be the gracious one. Let me buy. Let me. You know that wonderful battle that we have at restaurants. It's wonderful. Now, not everybody struggles with this. Some are very happy to let others pay for them. That's true. And this text is for them too. But I want to come back to those who are struggling to be just embraced with God's grace, to let grace wash over them. 150 gallons of grace in this text today. Did you do the math? There are six giant barrels, and each one holds, it said, 20 to 30 gallons. So I'm just rounding up, doing the math, and coming up with 150 gallons, right? 150 gallons, and I translate wine things into beer things. So that's 10 kegs. That's 10 huge kegs at a wedding. I think one keg at a wedding is too much beer, right? I mean, we never finished that one. 10? 10. It is not needed. It is over-the-top extravagance. So just have those images when we're talking about God's abundance and grace. It's ridiculous abundance and grace. Wine is overflowing, and this is our first glimpse of this Jesus Christ. This is our first glimpse. That says something. What is going on here? Who is this God of glory that is just overwhelming with grace? One scholar actually said about this miracle that it is a thing of dissonance, she said. It is not only a surprise, there is this much, it's actually disturbing. Maybe you're feeling that too already. It's a lot. That is a lot. First of all, it's wine. There's a bunch of issues there. It's also just over the top, right? It's a scandal. The word scandal means literally it's a stumbling block. I mean, it's too much. No, 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 not for me, please. No, no, pass that on to somebody else. Some of us cannot get past this generosity and grace. It is very hard for us to accept this God with us, this word that becomes flesh and dwells among us, and that all this abundance is for us. It's hard to hear. It's dissonant. It is dissonant in a way. All this goodness. No, you have to earn this. Right? You have your Protestant work ethic on your shoulder here. You know, our Western minds say, no, 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 no. You don't get all that for free. You got to earn it. You got to earn this. There is this part of us. So that's our heads talking and probably voices in our past. And, you know, Protestant work ethic's a big factor here for us. You know, we're Protestants and we've got these voices. So you've got to earn it. There is this little part in our hearts, though, that's going, maybe a little shamefully, but it would be a lot of fun. John's gospel, again and again, challenges our minds and threatens and seeks to annihilate these shameful voices in our heads and sends us to our hearts instead. It's trying to shut down those voices that say, you got to earn it. And instead, John's gospel is always drawing us into extravagance. That's what grace really is. It's extravagant. It is totally undeserved. We have a hard time with that. So 20 to 30 gallon jars. Let's talk about that. Everything in the Gospel of John is a symbol. And those six giant jars that are on the cover of your bulletin, those are a symbol for the old religion. The old religion. The religion that is a good religion, but it's old and it's time for something new. And Jesus is about something new here. Six jars of lots and lots of water. They're the old ways of doing things. They were actually purity jars. They were jars for a purification ritual, which was important for the wedding. A purification ritual. These are like sacred objects. And what does Jesus do here? Jesus takes the sacred objects and has a party with them. Can you imagine what that would look like for us? These sacred objects. So can you imagine if we grab this chalice here? Because we're going to a party. They're like, I need this. So you throw that over there, throw this over here, throw this here. Ah, there's even two of them here. So now I'm going to go to the party with these chalices. These holy chalices that we celebrate the Lord's Supper in. Jesus is taking holy things. He's taking these holy things, and he's making them everyday things. And because he's making holy things everyday things, then all everyday things are becoming holy. Does that make sense? It's this crazy, even offensive thing. How do you, don't just go up there and grab the chalice and take it to a party. Jesus would. Jesus would. Jesus is consecrating the new by using the old, and in that way opening it up to something even bigger. A couple weeks ago I said, just as an overview of the Gospel of John, that in the Gospel of John, everything becomes holy. Everything becomes a sacrament, you could say. Jesus is blowing up religious tradition, and by that I don't mean destroying it. I mean literally blowing it up, expanding it. He doesn't destroy the chalice or the purification jars. He expands it into a new way so people see things with a new eye. Yeah, this is holy, but so is this, and so is this, and so is this. Everything becomes holy in the Gospel of John for Jesus. Everything becomes holy. Walking your dog and picking up poop as the sun is setting is a sacrament for the Gospel of John. Scrubbing the gunk off your dinner plate as you listen to a podcast, sacrament for the Gospel of John. Going to the dentist and talking about your plans for the Martin Luther King holiday that's coming up, sacrament. Having a drink with a friend, getting a massage, laughing together in a boardroom meeting around the table, reading a bedtime story to a child, sacraments. Flying to San Antonio. Sacraments. All of life becomes holy. Shopping for fruits and vegetables. Do you see? It just goes on and on. Everything is holy now when Jesus enters the party. Grace just overflows. And I don't just mean a little bit, like it kind of trickles over the edge. No, I mean 150 gallons of overflowing grace. Ridiculous amounts of grace. Just more and more and more. When you think about when you have felt God's presence the most in your life. And we're going to be invited to think about that a lot in the Gospel of John, because the Gospel of John is about really knowing God's deep and abiding presence with you. When you think about that, and do think about what are times in your life where you've known God is so deeply present, don't just think, as I said with the children, don't just think about those tough times. And those are real times. Those are real times when, in a mysterious way, through great struggle, maybe a loved one, maybe you yourself was on the brink of life and death. Maybe someone was really sick, or you were going through a really hard time at work, and somehow in this mysterious way, God became known to you in that. Those are very important times where God is present. But don't just think about the dark times when God was truly there for you. Those are definitely true moments, but today reminds us that God is with us in the absolute overflow of grace moments as well. In those moments that are just joy-filled, laughter-filled, love-filled, family-filled, friends-filled, beer and wine-filled, food-filled. Those are the best moments in life, aren't they? The glorious nature-filled highlights when you look at a beautiful landscape. The very best stuff of this life is God deeply present with us too. These are third day events. I think about my brother Tim and Katrina's wedding in Ireland back in 2009. That was a third event for me. You know this because I talk about it all the time. I wouldn't have missed it. I don't remember how much it cost. It was a lot, but it doesn't matter. We were so glad that we were there. Friends and family, new friends and old friends, were all gathered together in this area that seemed like the edge of the world, way, way up in the tip of Ireland. We too celebrated a wedding. It was raining outside, but it didn't matter. There was so much joy all around. We celebrated the wedding, but we also toured around. We sat by the fire at night. We laughed and we laughed all the time. We ate and we drank and we danced and we sang. I'm not just saying that to add it to the list. Like, we were dancing just about every night, not even just the wedding night. We'd just start dancing or just start singing. It's just part of the culture, and you just sing all the time. We told stories. We celebrated life. It was one of those trips, one of the best moments in life. We celebrated joy and peace and unity. And when you experience those things, you wish everybody had an experience like that. You want to share it. You don't just want to share it by telling other people how great your time was. You actually long for others. Would that others have such a great experience as I just had. You know what I mean? When you have that experience, you can't help but wish everybody had that too. That's the power of a third day event. You know, those hard times in life, those are probably first and second day events. Good Friday, Monday, Thursday, Good Friday, Holy Saturday. Those are first and second day events, and God is deeply present there. But when we have third day events, we can't help but want to share that with everyone. I want to conclude by calling our attention to Jesus' mother. We should follow her lead and approach Jesus pleading. Even right in the middle of the great party, she approaches Jesus, and what does she say? They have no wine. Those other people don't have enough. They're out of wine. They're out of abundance. They're out of grace. They don't have enough. In other words, we should come to Jesus and tell him what to do. That's what Jesus' mother does. We should follow her lead and come tell Jesus, they have no wine. This is what prayer is. This is what praying for other people is all about. We don't just hoard all this goodness and grace for ourselves and then go home and forget that we just reveled in Jesus' presence. That's not a third day event. No, we accept the absolute wonder and joy of God's presence and God's benevolence and God's abundance. We swim in that. We laugh and we eat and we drink and we sing and we dance. We party with Jesus. And we also, even during the event itself, right in the middle of the party, we approach Jesus and say, they have no wine. We plead with Jesus. Let's try that right now. Let's pray. Give to others the grace that we have received so abundantly, loving God. Blow open the old ways that come up empty and fill us and this whole earth with newness, with joy and mercy and unity and peace. We pray this in your name. Amen. Amen.
Shepherd of the Valley, thank you for listening. Check us out again soon, and to learn more about our national church body, the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, visit elca.org. Goodbye for now, and remember, God's outpouring of grace and peace never runs dry. Here's to a new day. Evangelical? That was terrible. To learn more about our national church body...
Start over.
Okay.
Is that hard?
No, not really.
Pretty easy?
Yeah.
You're good at it.
Woo!